Global displacement crisis. Over the past decade, the world has faced a huge amount of turmoil, leading to the largest displacement of people since World War II. Countries like Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Somalia have been particularly affected by ongoing chaos, forcing many to flee their homes. Also, crises have erupted in South Sudan, Sudan, Yemen, Burundi, Ukraine, the Central African Republic, Myanmar, and Eritrea. In total, about 65.3 million individuals, which is about 1 in every 113 people worldwide, have been forced to leave their homes due to war, civil unrest, or natural disasters. Of these, over 21 million have crossed international borders, making them refugees. Humanity has gotten healthier and richer lately, but around 1% of the world's folks are fleeing from violence or disaster. In 2015, when lots of refugees started showing up in Europe after dangerous trips across the Mediterranean, the world freaked out. Except for Germany, most European countries either took in only a few refugees or turned them away. The UNHCR's main jobs are protecting refugees and helping them restart their lives, but with the recent wave, they haven't been able to do either. Just like the global money system had to change in 1971, today, we need to rethink how we deal with refugee crises. Strength of social institutions. Every society has its flaws, but some are better equipped to handle crises than others. In the United States, African American men face a higher risk of police violence. In Saudi Arabia, adultery can lead to public execution for women. In Russia, speaking out against Putin can result in imprisonment or worse. Despite these issues, these countries don't experience mass displacement like fragile societies such as Haiti. When disasters like hurricanes strike, Americans stay put because they trust their government to provide for their basic needs. Various reasons can lead unstable countries to collapse entirely. When trying to introduce democracy in places ruled by a single leader, like Iraq or Libya, things can spiral out of control, causing chaos. Similarly, economic booms, such as sudden rises in oil prices, can make already weak nations even more vulnerable. Take Syria, for example, where ISIS took over oil fields, using the profits to fuel violence and force countless Syrians out of their homes. Surprisingly, most of these displaced people stayed within Syria's borders, so they're not technically classified as refugees. Yemen is another striking case, a country known for its loose tribal governance, where violence in 2015 forced a whopping 9% of its population, about 2.5 million people, to flee their homes. Refugee policies. In 1951, global leaders hashed out a plan for handling refugees, stating that those escaping war or grave danger shouldn't be forced to return home. This convention also stressed that refugees deserve basic freedoms and rights. Sadly, many nations today that agree to these principles often overlook them. Surprisingly, some countries never signed the convention, like Jordan, Lebanon, Nepal, Thailand, and Turkey, yet they're among the most hospitable to refugees. This situation highlights a puzzling paradox in refugee policies. The strongest countries could take in the most refugees, but often don't feel the need to do so. On the flip side, weaker nations often have no choice but to accept refugees, especially if they're from neighboring countries. Consequently, fewer than 1% of the world's refugees find refuge in countries outside their immediate regions. The tepid response to asylum seekers globally goes against basic decency and logic. Sheltering refugees should be seen as a worldwide benefit, like street lights making neighborhoods safer. When people flee their homes out of fear for their safety, they should be considered refugees. However, many countries use a stricter test based on persecution. For instance, during Zimbabwe's crisis from 2003 to 2009, South Africa rejected most fleeing Zimbabweans as refugees, even though they faced starvation, arguing they weren't persecuted. Somalia presents another example. People flee because the government can't maintain order, not necessarily because they're persecuted. Let's rethink our approach to refugee rights, focusing on safety and humanity. The rise of refugee camps. The idea of refugees finding quick homes in welcoming nations was the plan during the 1951 convention. But things shifted in the 1980s when the UNHCR started using camps, mainly for those fleeing Vietnam and Cambodia. By the early 1990s, camps became the main way the UN housed refugees from places like Rwanda, Iraq, and Somalia. Today, around 10 million refugees live in camps, but conditions are often so bad that people leave. Many end up in big cities in neighboring countries, like Beirut and Amman for Syrians. Cities like Nairobi, Johannesburg, Bangkok, and Sao Paulo also have large refugee populations. But life there is tough. Refugees can't work legally or access aid programs. The headless heart and the heartless head. For 20 years, the UN's camp system didn't get much attention. But when Syrians, Libyans, and others started arriving on European shores, things changed. People saw images of immigrants arriving on small boats after dangerous sea journeys, and it made the Italian Navy step in to save them in the Mediterranean. But this created a problem. Smugglers just had to bring a dinghy close to the Italian coast, then escape, and Italy would take care of the rest. In 2014 alone, Italy rescued 100,000 refugees at sea. Because of the Schengen Agreement, once refugees got to Italy, they could move freely throughout Europe. Italy faced a tough situation with refugees pouring in during an economic crisis. Their economy took a hit, and with young Italians seeking better opportunities elsewhere, they weren't equipped to handle more workers. This led to a change in policy, turning away those seeking safety. Unlike the US, where federal rules govern borders, European countries set their refugee policies. For example, in Portugal, investing in property could grant entry to the EU. In 2015, the chaos of conflicting refugee policies led to panic and backlash. Countries like Sweden initially welcomed refugees but then tightened their borders due to political shifts. Similarly, Poland became wary of Muslim refugees and suspicious of German influence. Refugee policies in Europe. The differences in how Germany, Hungary, and Austria handle refugees stand out starkly. Germany, still grappling with its World War II past, has taken a welcoming stance, while Hungary and Austria see themselves as defenders against perceived threats. Hungary flat out refuses Syrian refugees, while German Chancellor Angela Merkel has opened Germany's doors, stating confidently, "Germany is a strong country, we will manage." However, this generosity inadvertently encouraged risky journeys across the Mediterranean. Families, hoping for better opportunities, sent their children, mainly teenage boys, to Germany. Around 73,000 unaccompanied children, many aged 16 and 17, made it to Germany. Yet, many lacked the skills needed to survive in their new environment, showing how good intentions can have unintended consequences. Uganda's approach to refugees. When Europe and North America turned away Syrian refugees, nearby countries took on the burden. Iraq accepted 200,000, and Jordan and others took in thousands. Uganda stands out for its generosity, welcoming 500,000 refugees from Sudan, Somalia, Rwanda, and more. Unlike camps, Uganda integrates refugees into society, allowing them to work and move freely. To help them support themselves, Uganda provides land for farming. Just like the United States and Europe, the wealthy Gulf states of the Arab world have not stepped up to help refugees. Despite their riches and similarities to Syria, these nations haven't done much to support Sunni Arabs in need. Rethink refugee policy. The current approach to refugees by the UN is like using old tactics in a new battle. Back in the 1940s, helping refugees was a short-term thing. But today, refugees might be stuck away from home for decades. This makes things tough. UN camps give basics like food and shelter, but not much else. There's no real chance for jobs or schooling. Plus, the world can't afford to support millions of refugees. If each refugee gets just $1,000 a year, over 10 years, hosting 4 million refugees would cost $40 billion. Ignoring refugees is like refusing to save a drowning child because you don't want to get your clothes wet. But how can we practically help them? Simply opening borders in rich countries won't cut it for the poorest of the poor who can't afford to travel far. We need a plan. First up, rich countries need to give more money to places close to crisis zones. This helps them take care of refugees better. We should also focus on giving refugees education and job opportunities. This helps them stand on their own feet and give back to the countries hosting them. Instead of being a burden, they become valuable assets. Post-conflict nations and helping refugees. Investments from both governments and private sectors can speed up the recovery of nations after conflicts. This can encourage refugees to return home once peace is restored. Also, organizations like the UNHCR need to update their strategies to match the realities refugees face today. By making regional agreements, forming partnerships between businesses and governments, and sharing the burden among nations, the international community can come up with effective solutions for the refugee crisis. Key points. 1. Refugee crises require global rethinking to ensure safety and humanity. 2. Strong social institutions can mitigate mass displacement in certain countries. 3. Refugee policies often overlook basic principles of protection and hospitality. 4. Refugee camps, once a solution, now face criticism for their limitations. 5. European countries' varied responses highlight the complexity of refugee policies. 6. Uganda's approach to integrating refugees offers a model of generosity and pragmatism. 7. To address the refugee crisis effectively, investments and updated strategies are crucial.